The dungeon rats murdered the entire royal family of Naporia and have been punished to a fate worse than death. For they are forever trapped in the endless dungeon. And it's your job to keep them there and make them suffer through your most wicked creations. Welcome back to the Dungeon Rats, an interactive Dungeons & Dragons adventure. It is thanks to you, brave guardian, that we will keep Naporia's most wanted forever trapped in the endless dungeon. You can submit your monsters, plot twists, magic items, or anything else by going to thedungeonrats.com or by following us on the tweet machine at thedungeonrats. A special thanks to William for today's metamorphic monster. I promise you, Guardian, this monster is far beyond the skills of the villainous group. So, to catch you up, this is what you need to know. When we were last with the rats, they had finally left the dwelling of the fallen wizard, Crimbalm. They are on the hunt for the honorable warden, Antolio Licolai. Oh, Lathander, help us if they find him, for these criminals are so twisted, they are thinking of freeing the very first prisoner of the endless dungeon from his shackles, where he will roam between the gangs and cause chaos once again. On their way out of the lair, they came across Crimbalm's torture chamber, where Rhoda discovered two skeletons wearing matching bracelets, and instantly puts one of them on. She offers the other to Bugfly, who reluctantly does the same. They don't know what these bracelets do, but they did find them on two dead bodies in a torture chamber. So they must do something terrible. Hopefully, something that happens today. While exploring the chamber, Daryl noticed someone from his past in a mirror, and it breaks his soul. He fell to the floor and cried. One by one, each of the rats experienced the same effect. One by one, we learn about what makes them sad, what makes their souls crack, and what makes their bonds of friendship forever weakened. In an act of desperation, they finally break the mirror. But Rhoda is not happy, and no longer likes the rest of the party. So, she stormed off alone into the depths of the endless dungeon. And this is where we are now. Let's get back to Rhoda and see what it's like to be alone and friendless.
I call Hank because I haven't called Hank in a hot second. I don't really say anything to anyone. I just get on Hank and I'm having Hank walk through the portal because that's what's happening.
Hank walks forward?
Yeah.
You don't see anything happen to him. Nothing has happened to Rhoda either as she storms through.
Is it a portal or a tunnel?
It's a tunnel.
It's a tunnel.
So it's a broken mirror revealing a secret tunnel behind it.
Shawshank style. Okay, gotcha.
Can I try something? Are there any shards that are particularly big but able to be carried?
Yes.
Can I take one and hold one up to my face? And do I see anything?
You see Pastor Landor looking back at you.
Why? Why are you
shut
this
up.
Way?
And I take them and I put them in my pack.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to keep that. That might be useful.
Gilf is following behind Daryl, and he could almost make out a conversation between Rot and the mirror. Some voice in the mirror. So we actually don't know what the conversation is or who Rot's talking to inside that little pack.
None of us can hear it,
but.
Hey! You suck too. Shut up.
Hold on. I'm imagining.
Shut up.
Can I just say Rot is talking to Pat? Rot is talking to Pat.
Yes!
No, that's exactly what it should be. Yes.
Okay, so Rhoda has run ahead through the tunnel behind the mirror. What are you guys doing?
So Gilf is kind of just standing there shaking, holding this bloody hook, and then he drops it and he goes up to Beligar.
Beligar is comforting Redemption. It's okay. It's okay, kitten.
Oh,
it
man.
Is okay.
I can't even imagine what that cat saw.
It must have been something terrible.
It just meows.
I think he was doing a Scooby-Doo.
I'm thinking of Wayne's World. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Redemption would just, I guess, just climb back into my robe.
Oh man,
she's fine.
I can't do another one of those. That struck a nerve with me. I don't know what you saw in yours.
It doesn't matter.
Let's go. Yeah, it doesn't matter at all. Let's get out of here.
The hole.
And we start going through the tunnel.
Yeah, I'm on Hank, and I'm like trying to not show my friends that I had been crying. So I'm like wiping off my tears awkwardly into Hank's feathers and just trying to be super, super cool about it.
I'm still like forging full force down the tunnel, and I guess I'll do like a perception to see, like, so I can take in what I'm like walking towards. 9.
As you're walking, you feel the floor beneath you start to tremble, and then suddenly it stops.
Whatever. Stupid Camille calling me a potato. She's a potato. I would never thought that she was that pretty. She just had good hair. That's it. Oh, I don't get it.
From like down the hall, you can like hear like me yelling after Rhoda, slow down. It's fine. We love you.
Suddenly, Bugfly, your wrist, it starts to tingle. This force starts to pull on your arm. You're flying through the air, and bam! You're connected to Rhoda.
Oh.
Bugfly, what do you want?
I don't know.
You know, maybe sometimes I just need to be alone,
I
okay?
I want to give you space.
I want space.
I want to give it to you.
Give me it.
I'm giving it to
then
you.
Then why aren't you giving it to me?
I'm stuck.
What?
I'm stuck.
Ugh.
The force stops, and you fall to the ground.
God, sometimes you could be so annoying.
Sometimes I could be enchanted.
What are you talking about, enchanted? There's no such thing as enchantment. Love is dead. Everyone's just going to die alone, and especially me. And I don't want to talk to you right now.
You're not alone if you have me.
I want to be alone. And I just, like, keep walking.
You are able to walk away from Bugfly at this moment.
Okay.
Rhoda, roll me perception again.
10.
You look ahead. You see a skeleton. It looks like the skeleton to a T-Rex.
Guys, I think I found Ganos' stupid pet.
I'm like running after Rhoda, and can I catch up with her?
Mm-hmm.
I catch up. Rhoda.
What?
Rhoda.
What?
Rhoda.
What? Why are you guys always around me all the time?
We're supposed to stick together. We're a team. Once we get out of here, you can leave us and you never see us again, but we need to stick together, okay?
Great. Fine. Let's hurry because all I want to do is kill everyone.
Rhoda, why are you feeling this way?
Because, okay, why don't you just leave me alone?
Rhoda, because we care about you.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't care about me. All you care about is your stupid possum god, and you don't know anything about me.
Pouch would accept you whenever you want. Is that the wrong thing to say? I'm sorry. I don't know how to deal with it right now.
I like throw myself like against a wall, like
so dramatic.
Full tantrum mode.
Tantrum. Yeah.
As you hit the wall, you feel your right arm get lifted in the air, and this force is trying to pull you towards Bugfly, but it doesn't seem quite strong enough, but your arm is just getting dangled in the air.
Daryl, what are you doing right now?
I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything.
What are you doing? Make it stop.
I can't.
Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to be messed with right now. I don't think it's funny. I'm in a bad mood. I haven't had a good breakfast. Let it go, Daryl. I want to talk so bad. I'll talk to you. Just make this stop.
As a paladin with undead or dark magic or anything, is there anything that I would know to even try on the bracelet to not
no.
really? There's nothing I can do. I told you it was a bad idea to put on that bracelet. Bugfly, get over here, okay?
Hank is still carrying me. Like, so he kind of looks like a chicken. Like, he's just, like, walking. What's happening? I'm not doing anything.
Look at Rhoda's arm.
What's wrong with your arm, Rhoda?
Daryl says that it's this bracelet, so I want to take the bracelet off because I don't have any friends anymore.
Rhoda, look at me.
What?
Breathe.
No.
Breathe in.
No.
And breathe.
I breathe. I have to breathe to talk, Bugfly. I'm already breathing.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're not, though.
Yes, I am.
You're not.
Yes,
but you're
I am.
Not. But you're okay. You're not.
As this conversation's going on, Beauregard and Gilf step up, and all this kind of sounds like white noise to him, but he's looking up at this Tyrannosaurus Rex in like complete awe and looking. So it's like fossils out of the wall.
It's not fossilized,
oh,
though.
Okay.
It's bone, but it's a T-Rex skeleton.
Is it assembled like you would see in a museum or like?
Well, it's not standing. It's laying down.
Oh, okay. It's on the ground?
Yes.
So it's got we're in a huge room right now.
Yeah. I guess I should have described that.
Okay. I'm going to roll a perception.
Yeah,
you
roll
can
a perception.
Put it on me.
Yeah, yeah. Roll perception.
Yeah. 18.
So the tunnel has opened up into a large area. Within this area, you see holes all over the place. They're about 15 to 20 feet in diameter. On the ground, you see what looks like a black liquid. In the center of the room sits a unicycle.
Is this? Do I recognize the black liquid as tar?
Roll perception on it.
Nope.
Our dyes are
very low.
You don't recognize it at all.
Are these holes in the wall? Do they look like tunnels, or are they on the floor?
They're all over the place. The wall, the ceiling, the floor, and they look like tunnels. Maybe like something burrowed into them.
Redemption, do you remember when we used to do this and I would go and get the unicycle? Now, hang on, Redemption. Now, we're going to do this like we used to do it. I'm trying to balance Redemption on the unicycle so she can pedal it. We've done this before. You're very good at this now. Come on. Come on, Redemption. Do you want to roll animal handling? That would be five.
Redemption gets on top of the unicycle. She's been here before. She knows what to do. She starts creaking forward when suddenly her eyes open wide and she jumps off the unicycle.
Beauregard, I'm noticing this as I'm trying to calm Rhoda down, and I look at Beauregard just walk into this room of horror, and I'm just like, Beauregard, does this new path require you to be stupid? I thought you loved that cat. Why did you walk into that room?
She was upset, and I was trying to calm her. She likes her unicycle.
Be careful.
Something startled her.
The ground begins to shake again.
Okay, guys, can someone just use one of your... One of your talents to detect if there's some type of evil thing in this area? What's going on here?
Yeah, let me try. I have nothing. I'm just going to like touch the ground. 8.
As you crouch down and start touching the ground, you notice that black liquid is coming towards you.
I'm sensing if there's any undead fiend or celestial being in here.
No, nothing.
Then I will light a torch, and I will hold it towards the approaching ooze to see if it reacts.
It does. It flinches backwards.
Everyone light a torch, and I'll start hand... I have 6 of them, so I'll hand everyone one, and I'll light them as I hand them to you.
So Gilf puts the finger on his palm, and where does it point?
It points through one of the tunnels.
There's a significant amount of them, but I imagine there's so many, it might be hard to find which one. Also, they're kind of on the floor, ceiling, end, so does it point...
Yeah, as you can tell, it seems to be pointing generally at one or two of them. The cluster of them in the corner of the room, it's pointing at.
But the closer we get, the more accurate it'll be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Guys, I think we have to go over this way. That's where the finger's pointing. Just
keep
everyone
together.
Everyone grab a torch and get this black stuff away. Like pointing in that direction. We should walk over there, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give the 6th torch to Hank. No, wait. You know what? Actually, for once, you can be useful. Rot, here's a torch.
As you start to hand Rot the torch, the ground shakes, this time harder than it's ever shaken before. Emerging from one of the holes is a giant caterpillar. It looks at the torches, hisses at you, and goes back up through another burrow.
And how big was that?
Huge.
Fucking huge. Okay,
like
great.
A bus?
Bigger than a bus.
Oh, like a caterpillar bus?
Well, it's 10 feet in diameter, but its length is hard to understand right now.
Ooh. If there's one thing that Rhoda really hates, it's bugs. Gross.
I do hope someone does submit a caterpillar bus. A la Totoro.
Yes, absolutely.
Darrell, you look down. Around your feet, somehow, this black goo has started to gather. You didn't see it there before, but your boots, They're starting to disintegrate.
I have a torch.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is I shine it towards like my feet.
As you shine it towards your feet, the black liquid starts to separate into two different forms on either side of you.
You guys, let's form a circle and move as a group, as a unit, towards where the finger is pointing.
Back to back. Agreed.
Back to back. Okay, we need to create a ball of fire. We need to become a ball of fire.
Those of us who are shorter, keep the torches down. Those yes. who are taller, keep them up.
Darrell, your feet start hurting, a pain you have never felt before. You are dealt 3 damage.
Are his feet like, are they sizzling?
Yeah, it's sizzling.
I'm pouring my entire water skin out on his feet with my torch in the other hand.
I'm also dragging that unicycle with me.
So you're holding on to it?
Yeah, I'm pulling it.
Is he still burning or is he okay?
Did you take off your boots?
Yes. Your wet soaked boots.
Yes, I'll take off my boots. Okay.
You kick off your boots and your feet feel much better.
How far away are we now?
You're pretty close. You're about, let's say, 10 feet away. And you see the hole that you're to climb into.
Guys, we gotta go down this hole. That's where it's pointing to.
Okay.
The ground begins to shake again. This giant caterpillar emerges right next to the party. Roll for initiative.
19.
I got an 18.
I got a 6.
So. I rolled a perfect 2.
So, Bugfly, being startled by the caterpillar coming up, her instinct is, because she knows that like they can't do fire, at least the oozes. So she tries to use sleight of hand to make the torch in the fireball that she does as her magic trick.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, she uses burning hands.
Oh, cool.
At the caterpillar.
It's actually a cavern pillar, oh. According to the suggestion.
Oh, I like it.
7.
So as she casts Burning Hands, the cavern pillar climbs up to a new hole and sticks its head out directly above the party.
Ah!
Gilf, you're up.
So this cavern pillar just popped out of the ground. It went through one tunnel and came up through the other one right in front of us.
Yeah, now it's actually directly above you.
Oh, okay. It came down from the top.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it moved after Bugfly attacked.
Now it's like head is right in front of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Gilf sees this, and he casts Scorching Ray right on its face.
Yeah!
And that is, you create 3 rays of fire and hurl them at the target within range. You can hurl them at one target or several. Make a ranged spell attack for each ray. On hit, the target takes 2d6 of fire damage. Plus 4 is 16, 16, and 10.
They all miss.
Oh, 16, 16, and 10, they all miss?
They all miss.
This big thing right in front of me?
Yeah, they all miss.
We need to go.
What happens is these scorching rays come at his face, but they hit his exoskeleton, and they don't appear to do anything. At this moment, you look down, and this black liquid is around your feet. For now, nothing happens. But all of you now have this black liquid around your feet. Belgard, it's your turn.
Then I am going to put Gilf on my shoulders so he's out of the liquid and can act freely.
So you pick up Gilf and you put him on your shoulders.
Oh, thank you so much. This thing is burning. Oh, man, I'm really high up. Guys, check it out. I'm taller than everyone up here.
You're already taller than most of us.
You're really tall.
At least 2 of us,
I guess. Taller than you guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's most of us.
You are kind of the median.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Once again, I'm not impressed.
The cavern pillar locks eyes on Rhoda, flies at her, grabs Rhoda in its mouth, and takes Rhoda into one of the holes.
What?
Gilf sees this, and he goes, once again, I'm not impressed.
Oh. Rhoda, you take 7 damage.
She just got straight up eaten, and you're just like, meh.
Quiet down there. Carry me.
Gilf was on a power trip.
Call me Master Blaster.
So, Darrell, it's your turn. You can see the back side of the cavern pillar right now, but the front is holding on to your friend, Rhoda. There is still a black ooze around all of your feet.
Oh, you guys, this black ooze is on everyone. I'm going... Someone's got to... I'm just stand still. I got this. And I just wave. I just go from each person, just make sure. And I just, like, wave it off.
And it all separates away. Next up, Rhoda. Rhoda, you are in the mouth of a cavern pillar right now, getting pulled deeper into one of these caverns.
What do I see?
You're flying through the earth right now, effectively. You see the face of the cavern pillar, and there's a lot of dirt around you getting pushed around as you're moving because it's burrowing deeper, bringing you down somewhere.
Okay, I just wanted to say in a personal note that this is, like, severely grossing me out.
It should.
It's very gross.
It's like two giant pinchers are locked around you in a cage, and there's some sort of weird bug slime.
This is Justine's personal hell.
I hate bugs so much. Guys, no idea. I know I took damage when it took me, but am I, like, hurt? Is it, like, severing me or, like...
It's just holding you in its mouth, yeah. You're grappled.
I'm going to blow fire.
Yeah!
There you go.
Because I'm feeling, like, really frustrated, and I'm just like, oh, what a bad day. Like, I'm thinking, like, I fucking hate my life, and I just, like, exhale and blow fire. Do I have a modifier?
No, it's the cavern pillar's saving throw. The cavern pillar totally failed. So roll damage now.
7.
So you're going to nail it.
So I'm just like so angry with the whole day that I'm just like, and I just like release like so much flame come out and like an angry exhale. And I just like blow fire at the same time I'm like using my hands to try to like push down on the pinchers.
So fire blasts into the face of the cavern pillar. It shrieks as it gets hit. It drops you out of its mouth. You tumble down the rest of the cavern. The cavern pillar itself finds a new hole and scurries away.
So is she back with us or away
no.
from... Okay.
So she is down a hole somewhere. When she lands, she gets up, looks around, and sees a bunch of little eggs.
I also want to point out that when I landed, I did a really cool, like, shoulder roll onto my knee.
Roll for acrobatics.
Yeah, roll for acrobatics. Let's see how graceful this landed.
She thinks it's graceful, but really...
4.
Oh. She trips and falls and lands on a couple of these eggs, and they pop underneath her.
Oh.
It's like Michael Scott doing parkour from The Office.
But in my head, it's really cool.
Yeah.
She even says it in her breath, parkour! She rolls on the floor.
So, Bugfly, it's your turn.
I see that Rhoda was taking down a hole, so I, like, kind of hit Hank a little bit with my heel. And I go down the hole to get her.
Now, we are to imagine that you're not sure what's happening to Rhoda now.
Oh, I have no idea.
Like, you don't know the cavern pillar was fire blasted. We're going to say that's your turn. Gilf, you're up.
He's still on my shoulders, and I'm right after him. So I would just, like, grab his knees. Prepare yourself, my friend. So prepare an action, and we'll just leap down the hole together.
Can I do that?
Yeah, totally.
So as soon as we get down there, you can still take your action because you held your action.
Okay. So as soon as we jump down there and we go, I jump off Beligard's shoulder, trucking it down the cavern with Beligard. So we can both go at like the same speed.
How far down the hole did I get?
200 feet.
He did not make that up right now, guys.
I didn't. It's science because it takes a round to catch up. So that's going to have to be a dash action, which would be 200 feet, right?
I'm still caught up on the point where you said it was science.
It's game science.
Definitely science.
It's the exact distance that a dash action takes to get to her, which I think is 200 feet, but I might be wrong.
200 feet if you were who? A dash action is just double speed. It would have to be really fast.
Okay. 100 feet.
100, yeah. Well, no, because 60 feet.
Science is hard.
You know,
120
this
feet.
This is just basic math, I think.
You're 60 feet down. The ground shakes. Daryl, you're up.
I'm just kind of alone up here with the black puddles.
Yeah, as they're creeping towards you slowly.
I look left and I look right. Everyone is gone, and the black ooze is coming towards me. I'm like, God, fine. And I throw my torch at one of the black puddles just to see what happens, and then jump down the hole.
The black puddle separates T2 style. Nice. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Second time you referenced that.
You jump down the cavern to catch up with your friends. Bugfly, we're back up to you.
Okay, so I'm flying down the hole with Hank, and I'm like, Rhoda! What do I see?
As you get to the bottom, you see Rhoda laying on the ground, surrounded by eggs. These little insect eggs just coated in some sort of gray goo.
So, is there any black ooze down here?
There's this gray stuff coating the eggs. It looks a little different from the black ooze, but they're still like a gray liquid.
I'm going to do a perception on the rest of the room just to see what it looks like. I'm rolling so sad. That's a one.
There's eggs everywhere. You can't even count the number.
Oh, there's so many eggs. Rhoda, there's so many eggs down here.
Oh, great. Thanks for showing up, Bugfly.
I feel like you think you're the only person that had a bad day. I feel like I had a bad day, too.
Well, this is true. Mm. I just had a worse day.
She takes one of the eggs and she, like, crushes it with her hand. And she just looks at Rhoda just like, mm-hmm, you've had a bad day.
As you crush the egg, a small caterpillar runs up your arm. Like, it just came out of the egg.
Oh, I'm going to try to smash it with my hand. That is 11.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little larva.
Yeah.
You just smash it. Huh. But that is your turn. Gilf, you're up.
I want to do a perception. 13.
It's just a room filled with eggs. There's a couple skeletons around where you see that other things have been fed here.
Guys, I think this is the nest. I don't think that thing meant to kill us. I think the thing meant to, like, bring us here and, like, I got a feeling that we're food for these little egg baby things, whatever this is. God, look at there's skeletons in the corner. These things definitely feast. I got a feeling that we're baby food. We're Gerber's baby food right now, okay?
So how many eggs are we talking? Like 100 or?
Yeah, hundreds.
Hundreds?
Remember Godzilla from 2001?
How about Aliens?
Yeah, remember Aliens?
I remember Godzilla from 2001. So we'll use that reference.
I think it was 99.
Oh, no. Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm a hack.
I want to roll, I guess, an investigation on this gray liquid. See if I know anything on it. 11.
It looks like some sort of byproduct from the cavern pillar, and it's keeping these eggs insulated and warm.
This gray liquid is probably like incubating them of some sort. We need to get these guys cold and get them fast if we're going to survive. If they all hatch at the same time, we're doomed.
Belgard, you're up.
Well, if temperature's important, I'm going to start lighting eggs on fire. So I'm just burning as many eggs as I can.
So you're just holding the torch up to these eggs. As soon as the fire hits the egg, you see them open up and these little baby caterpillars come out of them and then burn to nothing.
Burn, burn, burn.
You hear tiny little yelps.
Sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. Yelp, yelp, yelp. I'm not concerned in the least.
The ground shakes harder than it's ever shaken before.
Oh, no.
You hear a screech. Emerging from the tunnel is the mother cavern pillar. Staring at you, Belagard. What's your armor class?
13.
The cavern pillar locks eyes on Belagard, reaches forward, and snaps at him for 11 damage.
Okay.
Darrell, it's your turn.
I'll do a double-handed longsword attack on the caterpillar, the mother.
God, that's going to miss. You grab the sword with both hands, you swing it at the cavern pillar, and it just bounces off its exoskeleton. Rhoda.
So I'm going to throw my spear at it, and then I have an axe, too. Oh, okay, so 25.
25 hits. Now for the axe.
Yeah. 19.
19 hits. Now roll damage.
8.
And then roll the other one.
7 plus 5, 13.
7 plus 5 is 12.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what?
So 12 and 8, so you did 20 damage.
Oh, I just want some time all by myself so I can wallow. And then I, like, swing my spear up and I swing my axe across its head and tell me what happens.
Well, the spear goes right into the mouth of the cavern pillar. It tries to bite at you, but instead just gets a mouth full of blades. Its whole insides start getting all chopped up because your spear is 1,000 spinning blades on the end of it, and they just start blending the inside of its mouth. While you're doing this, the axe comes over the top of its head and sinks right into the center of where its brain would be. I don't know where the brain is on a caterpillar, but I think it's in the head.
And I say, do you like that, Camille?
Oh, my God.
And it sinks in. As you pull your weapons out, the cavern pillar looks very dazed, but is still standing there. Bugfly, you're up.
Okay, so when Rhoda is yelling, I just want space, Bugfly looks at her and she's like, I'm trying to give you space. And she throws her her torch and she tries to do that magic trick again and then is trying to do burning hands.
On the caterpillar or the eggs?
It's a cone, so it might hit the caterpillar, but she's doing it straight. So I don't know how close the caterpillar is to the eggs. There could be, it could be all of them.
Yeah, let's say any splash damage would hit the eggs.
13?
13 misses. But it does catch a huge swath of the eggs. And they start burning up.
So this is when Bugfly notices that it's not the magic trick. And she's starting to like freak out a little bit. So that's why she missed the caterpillar. Because she's like, wait, hold on. Like, because her hands are actually like hot and glowing. And she's very, very, very confused.
Gilf, you're up.
Gilf sees the rage that the cavern pillar has and sees that it's trying to protect its babies. He knows from trying to cast Scorching Ray on it that it's just very powerful and that he probably won't be able to hit it. So what he does is, instead of casting like a high-level spell, he casts Mage Hand. He uses it to grab one of the eggs and lead it out of the cavern in an attempt to distract it, hoping that she'll want to protect its baby.
So you grab the egg using Mage Hand, and the egg just starts going down one of the caverns. The cavern pillar, in a desperate plea, starts chasing after it.
Guys, we gotta go. We gotta go. Take this exit and just run. Run as fast as you can, okay?
Gil starts running out of the cavern because it's a dead-end cavern, right?
Yeah, so you can run back up where you came from.
Okay, so that's where he starts going.
Beauregard, your turn.
Can I reach the thing now?
You could reach its tail.
Then I am going to thunder a smite and take a swing at it. 13 plus 6 is 19.
That's a hit.
13 points of damage, and it has to make a strength check or get knocked back 10 feet, I guess further down the hole.
It rolled a 16.
Then it should be fine.
But it's still just moving.
I will move in the opposite direction with my movement.
So you're going to follow Gil?
Yeah.
You all hear a pop, pop, pop. Pop, 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 pop. All the eggs just start cracking open as these small cavern pillars come out. They start gathering in front of you. Daryl, you're up.
All right, yeah, I'm going to follow Gilf.
All right, so you start running after Gilf. Rhoda, it's your turn.
Oh, I really hate this. I really am starting to hate this. Bugfly, help me.
I'm trying.
Help me. I see all of these, like, hatching, and I'm like, ugh. So I'm going to take my torch, I'm going to throw it at him, and like run after Gilf and Daryl. But I'm also want to grab Bugfly.
So you grab Bugfly, you throw her onto your shoulders, and you start running up the cavern. You've all decided to run. You run up to the top of the cavern. You see the finger pointing towards a different hole than the one you emerged from.
With Bugfly over my shoulder, I'm going to like jump down the hole, but I'm gonna like hold my spear like down.
So you jump in.
Yeah, let's all go.
All of you jump in.
All of us go.
Yeah, Hank too.
So Gilf is like hustling hard. His like knees are way up, and he's just like trucking it. He's like,
guys, come on, we gotta keep going. Hurry up.
Get him. Get Gilf.
You get to the end of the cavern, and it opens into what looks like a forest.
Oh.
So Gilf is panting, and he just kind of like stops right at the edge of the forest and where the cavern is.
Hey, Beauregard, is it following us? Is it behind us?
As far as I can see, there's nothing here, my friend.
Oh God, guys, that was a close one. Is everyone okay?
I'm great. I'm just like on Rhoda's shoulders. My posture's super good because I want to be that much taller, and I feel like this like rush of power because I'm finally taller than all of you.
I'm bleeding a lot. Can I lay on hands myself? Can
yes.
I like, murr? Okay, well then I will heal 10 of my own damage.
You heal 10 damage.
I'm going to roll a perception on this forest before we step out into it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it too.
10.
20.
So, Bugfly, from your position on top of Rhoda, you've got the best view. Mm-hmm. It looks like a forest full of elm trees.
Oh! Did you read up on trees before you got here?
Yeah, I feel like there's a different
he
tree.
Super looks around the room to see if anyone is.
They're not redwoods.
No one is impressed. No one is impressed.
I'm a little impressed. He took the time.
He took the time to name a tree he named in that episode, though.
It was true.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dang. You know, yeah. You're right.
There's well, like it is two, elm. They're elm
said,
trees.
He right. said redwood, pine, and elm.
Right. There's three trees in this entire universe. It's like a Star Wars world. One atmosphere throughout the entire thing.
But you look around and you see there's thick elm trees. As you look further through the woods, you do see what looks like the outline of a dwelling of some kind. Maybe a house?
Hey guys, there might be a house over there. Maybe someone lives in this forest? Are we outside? Did we escape?
No. Okay, this is... my feet really hurt. And I just, like, go down and I kind of massage my feet and lay hands on my feet. I heal myself 3 hit points.
All right, great.
Wait, Rhoda, are you how are you feeling? Emotionally and physically, but mostly physically.
Fine.
I walk up to Rhoda. I'm like, Rhoda.
What?
Rhoda.
What?
How are you feeling?
Fine. I said I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Rhoda.
I don't know what voice she was doing there, guys.
I don't know what voice she was doing
I put
there.
My hand on Rhoda's back, and I'm like, Rhoda, if you ever need to talk, I know that you can talk to any of us, but especially me, because I have a lot of wisdom.
That's really cool, Daryl.
And I lay hands on her 7 points.
And it cures her disposition.
Gilf pulls out the finger and puts it in his hand and uses it as a compass to see which direction we should go.
As he holds it in his hand, he notices that it's just spinning in circles.
Is it actually turning, or is it like it inches up and pushes its way over and over and over?
The way I picture it, it's just spinning like a compass does when you're close to a magnetic force.
Guys, the finger is going crazy. Look at this. Check this out. And Gilf shows the party that the finger is just spinning in his hand. This Kanos guy is full of shit. Guys, look at this finger.
Do you think he's here?
Who?
The guy. What is his name?
Antolio.
Antolio.
Oh, we should have asked Kanos what this thing does when he actually gets to him. I thought it would point right at him, though. You think it spins around a lot?
Well, I mean, maybe there's a lot of iron here.
Does anything here give me an impression of Antolio?
No.
You know what? Maybe he is here. And I'm going to turn Antolio into rigatoni. And I take my hand and I smash it into my other hand. And I start like marching towards the house. And like Bugfly was on my shoulder. So I'm not holding on to her anymore. So she's just kind of like, trying to like hang on to me before she like falls over.
Wrote a roll perception for me.
12.
As you walk through the woods, you look up into one of the trees, and you swear you are looking back at you.
Everything seems normal. I'm kidding. The last thing I want to see right now is a picture of me looking back at me. Rhoda, stop! And I like slap my face.
As she's slapping her face, I get super weirded out, and like I just like jump from her. So I notice that Daryl has no shoes. I'm looking around to see if I can find something that I can build to make him have shoes.
So that's going to be nature.
19.
You're able to find various scraps of wood and bark and grass, leaves, all sorts of things.
I make him shoes that look like Uggs.
Yeah,
like
so you make him some all-natural Uggs.
How about some moss? Because it's kind of squishy, so it'll be nice on the sole.
So they're very comfortable.
Yeah, so you're finding all of those things. As you start scraping the moss off of one of the logs, you look up, and you swear you see Rhoda in the distance.
Rhoda?
Yeah?
This voice comes from behind you.
Ah!
What, Bugfly?
Why are you over there?
Over what? Wait, you see that?
Yeah!
I thought I just saw
no!
that. Oh my god, why am I over there?
I don't know!
Why are there two of me?
Meanwhile, at the court of
the Rhea sisters.
Yeah, we heard you wanted us. Mm-hmm.
We saw it in your mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's one of the perks being the psychic.
And quite powerful psychics you are.
We know.
We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, here you go. You're hungry?
Oh, thank you. A banana.
God bless you. We saw that sneeze coming.
Well, I am allergic to bananas, so. Well, I needed you because Antonio, a.k.a. Freninja, really wants to be able to tap into the mind of the dungeon rats.
We know.
We know. We heard. We heard all about it. And we're here to say, yes, yes, we will do it.
We would love to do it.
So you'll create a channel where I can talk directly to the dungeon rats and explain to them what's happening.
We would love to help you. We love getting in the minds of people. We
Well. Yeah, we go through things. We like to sort stuff for them. We like to, like, you know, help them impress their new dates or their parents, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You might call us meddlers, but I think we help.
Do you ever go into each other's minds?
Back and forth, yeah. I mean, there's nothing that she has that I haven't seen before, you know, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
We do stuff like that.
You have no skeletons in your closets?
Well, Daya's got plenty of skeletons.
I take some skeletons every now and then. Well, I'm so bad sometimes. You know, you're just out late, you have too much meat, and you go home with a random skeleton. You know, just stuff like that.
Oh, so you're hooking up with skeletons.
Oh, well, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, hooking up with them as much as just like, you know,
crushing their bones.
Well, we really need your skills to help us because I want to be able to speak directly to them and describe their surroundings and the world and the monsters and even talk to Rot about the metagame.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. I've never tapped into someone in the Endless Dungeon before.
Let me try right now. Oh, well, Rot is thinking about picking everyone's wedgies.
That's so strange. What a strange, strange hand thing. Ooh.
People love him.
People love him?
Oh, they love
Rot. People love the hand?
I don't know if people really love the hand.
No?
I don't think so.
I think he's the best character.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Daya's thinking right now about how magical her hands are. Great massager she is.
I gotta say, if we do this, 110% and we go inside there, what's in it for us, though?
The feeling of duty and...
He has nothing. He has nothing. He's got
nothing. Nothing is in there at all.
Nothing in there.
Nothing is in there at all. When I asked that question...
You knew the answer.
I knew the answer.
Yeah.
Then why do you ever ask me any questions?
Because free will is very important to humans. Mm-hmm. We know this.
It feels like the perception of free will. Because you still are already controlling everything.
And no, I will not go on a date with you.
Well, I've been in this office for a very long time.
We can tell.
I already know your plans for retirement. You want to die in that corner right over there.
And you will. You'll die there.
I will die in that corner?
100% you're going to die in that corner.
You will take two lovers.
Two lovers?
One's a dog.
Don't get me wrong. That dog is going to show you a whole new world. Lean into the skid. But really, what is in it for us if we go in there, okay? Because I'm working on my own solo show.
A one-woman show.
It is so good.
Wait, what are you going to do while she's doing the show?
She's my understudy.
Yeah. And the third night, she gets really sick.
Oh, you already know that.
We already know how it's going to go down, okay?
Yeah. So on the third night, I get to step in. I wow everybody, but most people leave thinking that I'm not as good.
Yeah.
They're right. I did not train so much in the acting.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's drawing on personal experience. A lot of it, that's what it is, okay?
In the 53rd year of my life, that's when I bloom.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
I go on a trip, a singles cruise.
Oh, nice.
I don't meet anybody, but I meet everybody. You know what I mean?
It's more of like an eat, pray, love type thing.
Yeah.
I've never read that.
Oh, you gotta read Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray, Love is so good.
Eat, Pray, Love. Amazing.
What's it about?
Oh, it's about this woman.
Elizabeth Gilbert, okay?
Yes.
She's starting the second part of her life. Oh, just read it.
It's so good. So much eating and praying and loving.
And loving and the
so
praying
much
and
loving.
Eating.
She loves everybody.
Oh, when we get into the dungeon rat's head, eat, pray, love. First thing we talk about. First thing we send them.
I love that.
Oh.
Wait, no, no. It's supposed to be torturous.
Wait, no. Oh. We talk about Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes.
Maybe we bring up Wild by Cheryl Strayed.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
Reese Witherspoon, National Treasure.
Oh, amazing. Her heart-shaped face makes me boo.
Oh, what else? What else can so I'm going to plug my solo show. We should definitely talk about E Pray Love when we're in there. I want to talk about...
I want to talk to them.
Wait, what?
I want to talk to them. You're just building the connection.
This is the first time we've ever been allowed in the Endless Dungeon, okay? Yeah. We can't be all about you.
We have to make an impression. We have a reputation, you know.
But thank Antonio, you. AKA for Ninja, wants me to talk to them directly.
I don't know about that.
I don't want to spend all day talking through. I don't want to be a telephone.
Yeah, I'm not the telephone either. I'm a person, you
I'm
know.
I'm not the telephone.
I have interests.
I have so many interests, okay?
What's a telephone?
Oh, it's this thing from the millennium. You'll never find out because you'll be dead in that corner.
Leader of the Dungeon Rats. Wow, William. How about that cavern pillar? I hope it never comes back and rears its ugly head again. Wink, foreshadowing. As a reminder, if you leave a review on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and send us a screenshot of it to thedungeonrats@gmail.com with your mailing address, we'll send you some free stuff while we still have buttons and stickers and whatever else Carlos has made. Anyway, The Dungeon Rats is produced by Patrick O'Rourke and Carlos Luna. This episode was edited by and original music from Carlos Luna. Rhoda is played by Justine Kruger. Bugfly is Serena Marie. Daryl is Alex Colliard. Bellegarde is Aram Vartian. Gilf is Carlos Luna. And the DM is Patrick O'Rourke. Well, that's it for Rot, the master of the metagame. And remember, a true leader always gets the last word.